your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
With Mr. David Britton. Are you there, bud?
I am, Big Hungry, yes.
How's it going? How's it going up there, so to speak?
Well, I wish I was up there. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? But no, I'm still down here, unfortunately.
I guess the big news is whenever someone finds a little bit of water out in space, everyone gets a little bit skits, don't they?
Well, they do, but what sort of hit the headlines in a week or so ago was water vapor that was found on a planet far from our solar system. It's an extrasolar planet, and what people are looking for with these planets is one like the Earth, a so-called Goldilocks planet.
Mm.
Not too hot, not too cold, but just right.
Because we have to sort of look for life that we know what we think life is, don't we? That's right.
We've only got one example of life that we know about, and that's what's on Earth. So that's the best thing to look for. So you also look for the habitat that we know works here, which is, you know, an Earth-sized planet around a sun-like star. So far, over 4,000 planets have been found.
Wow.
Around other stars, 4,112.
Potential planets.
Yeah, a lot of them are very much larger than the Earth, even more are smaller than the Earth, or about the same size, but they're much closer to their star than we are, which means they're going to boil. Now, some of the stars these planets around are not like our sun, they're cooler. They're called red dwarf stars. But it means that the planet can still be habitable if it's a little closer to that star. It'll be still warm enough that any water on the surface could be liquid. And that's what the planet they found exhibits. So there's water vapor that they've detected. Now, they can't say whether that is an ocean or lakes or lots of clouds or just a little bit of water vapor in a different type of atmosphere, a hydrogen atmosphere or something like that. That's too early to tell just yet, but the initial indications is definitely water. The thing about this planet, though, it is a bit over two times wider than the Earth. So being twice the width means it actually weighs eight times more than the Earth. So it weighs... got eight times more mass than the Earth, so it's a bigger planet. So if you were to go to the surface, if there is one, and there might not be, it might just be a big, thick atmosphere, you'd weigh about half, again, heavier than what you feel on the Earth. So it's quite a different sort of planet. It wouldn't be people like us wandering around on it, but there could still be, you know, the simpler forms of life in the form of bacteria, something like that.
Cool.
Yep, so they're going to keep looking and hopefully find, you know,
are they?
And it's about the size of the Earth,
you know,
the right sort of distance. And
yeah, great.
I'm sure they'll definitely let
and we'll find everyone will have like an extra person that looks exactly like them and they will do our bidding. That sounds great. but they'll have like an extra toe or something. Is there any chat among the sort of community regarding like looking for life that's like potentially a planet that's us, that's been us for a long time, and the humans have died out, but they've created AI, which was probably their sole purpose. Is kind of a bit of a deep rabbit hole here, but are we looking for life that's like potentially digitized?
No. The only I mean, there's another thing there with von Neumann machines. These are like robots, if you like, that can replicate themselves.
Mm.
So the idea is you make a machine that can do that, send it off into the galaxy.
Yep, and it conquers
all. And it just spreads.
Sounds helpful.
I mean, if there was something like that around, the thought is that we'd probably already know about it.
Right.
Yeah. The only other thing really looking for is signals of some sort, either radio or like laser signals from a place that's highly technical, and they could let other civilizations like us know they're there by that means. And that's what the SETI projects are about, listening and looking for alien signals.
Right.
Nothing found yet.
Fair enough. On to the next. India finds lost lunar lander.
Last time I talked, India was about to attempt a soft landing near the South Pole. I actually watched it live on the internet, which was quite good. And as it was going down, everything seemed to be all in order, and then the track that it was meant to take sort of took a bit of a steep dive, and everything sort of went a bit quiet, so I knew something was definitely up. And so it seems that it either crashed or it certainly didn't land where and how it should have. And everyone thought, well, they thought it was probably all lost. Since then, India has been able to locate it on the surface. There was two parts to the project, so there's an orbiter going around, and that's still fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's able to image the lander on the surface. They haven't divulged any photographs, and they haven't told us what state it's in. They're trying to contact it. And the news just out today, in fact, NASA has the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. It's been orbiting around the moon since 2009. It's taken photos of the Apollo landing sites, the Chinese rovers U-2 and U-22 on the moon. So it's actually going to be passing over this site, and it's going to try and image the Indian lander. I think it's within the next 12 hours, actually, so people might like to look over that. So it'd be interesting to see if they do see it. The one thing about the LRO is that all the data is publicly available. So cool. If they do see something, they'll share it. And so we'll all know about it, including the Indian Space Agency.
A little bit different to all that moon landing footage that the Americans seem to have lost.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's India up to date.
Great. And going on at the Stardome Courtyard Telescope viewing.
Yeah, I didn't quite get a chance last time to explain it. When you come along to an evening show, like the 8 o'clock show, part of the ticket is, if it's clear outside, you go out. We've got a courtyard out the back of the building where these telescopes are rolled out. They're not bolted to the ground. They can be rolled out and put away again. To look at whatever's on view, planets or the moon or stars, galactic views, and that's part of your ticket. Okay, so if you go out there and in fact it's inclement or just too cloudy, you can get a rain check. So you can come back
A
clear night and just go through. You can't see another show, but you can go out and use that ticket to go and look through the telescopes.
That's thoughtful.
When it is clear. So that's really important and permanent part of what Stardome has offered. It's always had viewing of some form or another. And shortly, hopefully next time, I'll talk about the Zeiss telescope, the big one, which has been under refurbishment for the last year, and that's on the verge of being available to the public again. It's not quite there yet. It's almost ready.
What was the name of it? It started with a Z.
Zeiss, as in, no, like Zeiss microscopes, Zeiss lenses.
Okay.
Z-E-I-S-S. So, yeah, they make telescopes as well.
That's great that they make microscopes and telescopes. I love that. I love how they're looking.
Yeah.
They're looking in and they're looking out.
But they make lenses for all sorts of...
we've all turned a telescope around and looked down at David. Don't get me wrong. Like, I understand how it works, mate.
If you come along to an evening show, especially if you see our night sky,
mm-hmm.
Which is in the planetarium, it's showing you what you can see inside the theatre. Afterwards, you can go out and actually see it for real, what's on view right at that moment, of course. So the night sky is nearly an hour with the presenter showing what's on view for the coming days and weeks, the planets and so on, and they'll actually fly out to a few planets and have a look. Now there's a new one, just the children, called Looking Up. That's on Saturdays and Sundays at 4 p.m., which is a children's version of Our Night Sky. So there's lots of things to see if it's raining or if it's clear.
Perfect.
And one thing to keep in mind is if in winter, because the sun sets earlier, you can actually go out and look through the telescopes before you see the show, as long as you've got the ticket, of course. But in summer, with the sun setting later, things sort of go a little bit later in the evening. But usually out there, if it's clear, up till 10, 10.30, in summer, maybe even a little bit later than that to give people a chance to have a good view after the sun goes down.
All right. I like the idea of kids looking up. It's just, you know, get amongst it, you little crazy little buggers. Blow your little minds. Because it must be quite inspiring watching all the kids go, far out.
Yeah, well, their parents as well. Jaws drop. I mean, when you first see, like, the rings of Saturn for yourself with your own eyeballs.
Oh, man, yeah, that'd be rad. I've got to get out myself, actually. Obviously, we'll stay in touch, David. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks for Spaced Out. Always a pleasure, mate.
Look forward to it.
Cheers, bro.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.